the way that we use that term in our society, we associate membership often with kind of voluntary association, like we might be members of the golf club. And so when we think about church membership, we might come about from that type of way, in the way that we might join a golf club, we might pay our fees, and then we might use the facilities of the golf club as we choose to do personally, and if we go or not, well, that's entirely up to us. We might turn up at an AGM occasionally and vote on whether there should be changes and that type of thing. But it's really, you know, is that what church life is and church membership is really about? And if so, is this just talk about this, and we're churches that kind of talk about this more than others? Are we just being kind of overly zealous with our bureaucracy and wanting making sure our lists are in the right order, etc.? No, rather we need to understand membership not so much as a voluntary association. And as we'll see if the screen comes up in a moment, it's not a club, the church. As we've seen a few weeks ago, we were talking about this, what is the church? It's an outpost of the kingdom of God. It's an embassy. Rather, the gospel brings us into the kingdom as citizens of his kingdom, of heaven itself, belonging as a people. We thought about that this morning, didn't we? We were looking at Nehemiah 10 and seeing the way in which God's mercy isn't simply a random act of kindness towards us, but is his mercy in his covenant to save a people for himself. So the gospel is more than my personal salvation, where I might go to church just to top up spiritually as I see fit. No, the gospel brings us into a new humanity in Christ, belonging to one another. Do you remember in the Garden of Eden, Adam is there, and God says it's not good for man to be alone. He's start of a new humanity. And in the ways he says, shares that, we can look at it in a number of ways, but one of the things is, Adam is not able to do the things he's been asked to do on his own, to fill the earth and rule over it. He needs others. And in a similar way, Christ builds his church with members. Not good to be alone. No, he joins us together so that actually the rule of which God brings about, a transformation of lives, is demonstrated through community and through life together. Perhaps, so we might say this about the church. This would be one definition in which we could use. The church is the people of God. It's not the building. We know that, don't we? Who have been saved by repentance and faith in Jesus and incorporated into his body by baptism in the Holy Spirit. Remember that promise we looked at the other week, Acts 2, that promise that, you know, trusting in Christ, repent and believe, forgiveness of sins, and the promise of the Holy Spirit living in you, new covenant, where God lives with his people, writes the law on their hearts as he promises to do. Baptism of Spirit, something that we believe every believer receives as they trust and turn to Christ. That is that promise in Acts 2. But we might look at that definition of the church and say, well, could that be said of just the church in general, of just all believers, a kind of idea of the universal church? You may have heard of that term before, where, you know, it's just that's true in all time, different places across the world, that actually we're all joined as one to Christ. And in that sense, that's true, isn't it? Christ is building not kind of different peoples in different locations here in Aylesbury, one or two places, and there down the road in Tring and across the world, etc. No, he is gathering a single people. There is a universal church from all tribes and nations. We read that, don't we, as we get to the end of the Bible. So what about the local church and membership to that? Because that's really what we're talking about this evening. Well, here's a question to think about to get us going on this. What's the difference between two Christians who belong to the same church and two Christians who belong to different churches? Yeah? Is there anything different in their relationship because they belong together to a local church than if they were in two different churches? Is there anything in their relationship in terms of responsibility to one another that changes because they attend the same church on a Sunday or if they go to two different churches within the town? You see, if the answer to that is there's nothing, then actually really there's not really, we shouldn't be too much worried about the local church. We could just say, well, there are places that you can turn up to to hear about the Lord Jesus, and that's great, and use that. But I want to suggest to you, and over, as we go through this, I want you to think that actually there is a difference, and to begin to think about what that difference might be. So we're going to define the local church a little bit fuller in this way, and it begins to bring out that responsibility. A local church is a group of Christians who regularly gather in Christ's name, faith in Christ, repentance for the forgiveness of sins, to officially affirm and oversee one another's membership in Jesus Christ. We'll see part of his body and his kingdom through gospel preaching and gospel ordinances. That phrase ordinances, we're really referring to baptism and the Lord's Supper by that. That's what we understand a local church to be. And we'll see, as you can see a little bit in that, with those words affirm and oversee, that there is some specific responsibility that we have to one another as church members, which makes church membership an important thing, and is very different, isn't it, from the golf club idea of membership, where actually who the other members are doesn't really matter. Actually, I'm just able to go and play golf when I want to go and play golf. Before we go any further, it's worth just kind of picking up on some kind of early, some objections that sometimes people have to local church membership. The first one is that thing that you might be thinking that even as you thought, oh, well, this is what we're looking at this evening. The important thing is the gospel. Yeah, the important thing for us as believers is to know Jesus Christ and his work for us in dying for our sins, conquering death, raised to life, and trust in him. And everything else in the Christian life, we kind of sort out for ourselves. You know, of course we want to encourage one another, build one another in the gospel, but that's kind of, different Christians can do that in the way that they wish that they would like to do that. You know, and some people might gather regularly, some people might just do stuff online, listen to sermons online, that type of thing. Is there any difference? But as we read the New Testament, it's clear that lots of the New Testament letters are, first of all, addressed to local churches and give instruction to local churches about the type of thing that they should be doing, how they should operate. Much of the New Testament focuses on the relationship of believers. We'll talk about that more as we go along, but those commands that you know about, to love one another. And so you can see actually, as we read our Bibles, we see actually that the Bible itself is concerned for local churches and the state of local churches and what's going on in local churches. Think about that letter to the Corinthians where Paul is trying to straighten out all sorts of things that are going on there. Or the letter that Paul writes to Titus as he instructs Titus to straighten out what's going on in churches there, because that matters. And so you can see the local church and how it exists is important. Okay? And we can see again, Paul writes in 1 Timothy 3 in this way, I'm writing to you with these instructions so that if I'm delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. And there he is talking about the local churches, because Timothy's going to be working in terms of within the context of local churches, how people should ought to conduct themselves, how tangibly, how they live in the context of a local church. And so you can see the Bible itself considers, yes, the gospel is the things matters of first importance, but it's not that these things are left unmentioned in the Bible. No, there's much concern in the New Testament for the life of the church. Secondly, people might say, well, when you become a Christian, you are part of the universal church, and the local church is immaterial. And I've kind of touched on this already, but when we think about, well, what does the Bible teach about life in the church? They're very tangible things, aren't they? That actually you need to do somewhere. They're not kind of thing where actually, you know, you need to be alongside other Christians to live out the Christian life in a way that the New Testament encourages us to love one another, encourage one another, admonish one another, forgive one another. There needs to be that kind of relationship together, as we'll see going on, to stand together for the gospel. These are things that we can only we live out tangibly as we come together as a community of people, that we demonstrate through our commitment to one another. And then the next thing is, you know, you've said all that, Pastor, that's great, but still membership is a bit of a secondary issue, isn't it? And therefore not that important. And particularly when the church in this country is struggling in different ways and people, you know, come with different experiences of church, should we not worry so much about membership? It's not very important, is it? Again, pointing us back to the gospel. But what I want us to see is, and again, we talked about this a little bit this morning, the gospel produces the church. Yeah? Again, we saw that link, didn't we, this morning, both in the people's response in Nehemiah 10, but we referred actually to that verse there on the screen in 1 Peter 2. Yeah, once you had not received mercy, now you have received mercy. Once you were not a people, now you're the people of God. And that parallel between those two statements, mercy of God, receiving the mercy of God, makes us a people. Makes us a people. And so the gospel itself produces the church. And again, put those things together, it produces the church. It's calls to live out the gospel in tangible ways. I hope you can begin to see there's an importance for Christians locally to gather together, living out the good of the gospel. And therefore, how we construct ourselves in the church, whether you formally call that membership or not, is going to be really important in terms of living out the gospel, showing, making the gospel visible, if you like, in a locality, in a particular place, in a particular moment of time. And so membership doesn't save us, but it's important for our life of the church together, and we'll see that as we're going on. Because what we're going to do, have I got another statement there? Yeah, the church serves the Lord. Okay, we saw that again today, this morning, the imperative of mercy. We are people belonging, affects our belief and our behavior, and the gift of mercy. And again, the things we saw, didn't we, this morning as we looked at Nehemiah 10, yeah, we want to be your people, we want to know your rest, we want to live in your house. In the present, where do all of those things point us towards? Local church. That's where they put, you know, ultimately they'll be fulfilled fully, won't they, all of those things in the world to come. But in the here and now, where do we discover those things? Local church and commitment to the local church, which again implies pressing in and membership and being known. And so again, this is why we say this definition. Local church is a group of Christians regularly gather in Christ's name, officially affirm and oversee one another's membership in Jesus Christ and his kingdom through gospel preaching and gospel ordinances. And so let's just look at that. What I'm going to do is just five statements. And we'll move through these very fairly quickly. I don't want to take ages over these things, but about the importance of membership. Let's see a few things. First of all, let's make sure we see that church membership is scriptural. It's in the Bible. It's not something that's kind of added to. It's not that our church has thought, oh, how can we do this? No, we see this as being scriptural. And so let's read from 1 Corinthians 12. I was going to do this earlier, actually, let's read from 1 Corinthians 12, and we will see that. We'll see a number of different passages, but do turn to 1 Corinthians 12. If you've got one of the church Bibles, it's on page 1153. Let's just read. I'm going to read a little bit more than those just couple of verses, but we'll pick those up. Read from verse 7 of 1 Corinthians 12. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To the one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongue, and to still others the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its parts, but its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized into one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jew or Gentile, slave or free, and we are all given the one Spirit to drink. And so the body is not made up of one part, but many. Now if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, there would be where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say, to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for one another. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices in it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, their teachers, their miracles and gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. All are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all work miracles, do all have gifts of healing, do all speak in tongues, do all interpret. Now eagerly desire the greater gifts. And yet, I will show you the most excellent way. And Paul, of course, talks about love into chapter 13. But you'll see there, as we read that chapter, Paul talks about the church using that metaphor of a body with many members. And so actually, just very practically, when we talk about church membership, think not voluntary association, but body and members. That's what we're talking about, who work together, who come together. And again, even in that list of the gifts, if that is just a kind of universal thing, we're all kind of knocking around, how do those gifts get used for the benefit of others if we're not coming together, committed to one another? And Paul is very clear, isn't he, of the closeness of that relationship. That body metaphor puts about, you know, a real close tie relationship, doesn't it? Yeah. Yeah, that body, you can't have a closer relationship of your hand and your foot of the same body. Yeah, and that body's used again, not just in that passage, but in Romans 12 as well. In 1 Peter, instead of the body imagery, we get kind of temple imagery and the idea of stones. But again, the emphasis is interesting, being built together in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not a separate collection of stones here and there, but that sense of joint together. And again, you're seeing this idea that the Christian life is not an individual one, where I get saved personally and then I plug in here and there where I can in order just to encourage me in following the Lord Jesus Christ. No, much more the New Testament idea is that idea of being drawn together alongside other believers in faith to use the gifts that we've been given. We saw that in 1 Corinthians 12, to build one another up. And again, we see this pattern in the life of the church. Sometimes people say, oh, where do we actually see membership? You know, where do we see a list of membership roles in the New Testament, that type of thing? But can you see even just the imagery points us to that type of thing? But again, when we get to the book of Acts, it's very clear that the local churches were concerned with the numbers of people that were gathered, that were aware who was part of them. Yeah, so we start, 120 of the day of Pentecost, 3,000. As it grows, 5,000. Marking out who belongs to God, who have made that profession of faith. See it in Acts 2, repentance, baptism. Yeah, we talked about that a couple of weeks ago, didn't we? That the church, local church affirming the profession of faith made by an individual, this person has repented and trusted in God. They too are a follower of Jesus and welcomed into the church. Added to the number is the phrase used there. And then they're into the life of the church together. And what are we told? They devoted themselves immediately, pressing in to a life together of commitment to apostle teaching, breaking of bread, fellowship, prayer, etc. So you begin to see this idea of being joined together as believers tangibly, yeah, is really part of the New Testament expression of living out the gospel, being a Christian, a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. So membership is scriptural. Secondly, I just want to emphasize that membership is essential. In other words, membership of a local church, active participation in the local church, is God's will for all believers. Yeah, of course, that we can think about exceptions where that might not be possible. We wonderfully, the way in which sometimes people have been saved in closed countries to the gospel, and it's not possible for them to have real relationship with other believers. But that's the exception, and you speak to any one of those folk, and they would long for fellowship within the local church. It's essential. We've already referenced it already, but the one another commands, think about it, are impossible without commitment to a particular body of believers. Let me just read you from Colossians 3. I love these verses. Paul writes, again, he's writing to a local church. This is what he says. Therefore, as God's chosen people, Colossians 3, verse 12, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if anyone has a grievance against someone. If we're not committed to a local church, when will we ever bear with one another? When will we ever do that? Because actually we just say, oh, I didn't get on, I won't go for a few weeks, I'll go somewhere else. It's fine. Doesn't matter, does it? How can we fulfill that command if we're not committed? Yeah, how will we ever get close to other believers that they might tread on our toes or even do something wrong against us that we need to forgive unless we are committed to one another? Those of you who are married will recognize that you never realized how selfish you are until that first week after you got married. And you realized all the things that you do in your life. And why was that? Because of that closeness of relationship. True in the local church as well. As we come together, we realize we're still sinners. We still need God's grace and mercy daily in our lives. And there will be times that we need to forgive and bear with one another. And it goes on. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these things, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you are called to peace. Be thankful, let the message of Christ dwell among you. That sense of corporate nature, doesn't it? Richly as you teach and admonish one another, that you might speak a word into a brother and sister's life and say, I love you, but I'm worried about this going on in your life. It doesn't seem to be consistent with living as a Christian. How can you do that if there's not some close relationship with one another? And so you can see it's essential. And this is, you know, not special. It's a local church, an ordinary group of believers. It's the will of God for all good people. Individually, the benefit, as we go back, we looked at those verses in Matthew 28. Jesus, all authority, is the risen Savior, and he commands his disciples to go make disciples. And then the instructions are clear, making disciples, baptizing them, and teaching them everything I commanded. You can see that immediately brings into the context the local church, a group of believers who baptize them and then begin to teach and instruct. Where does a new Christian grow? In the context of a local church of believers, yeah, with older Christians, with other people who can teach them different things together as we gather and learn together in following the Lord Jesus Christ. And within that encouragement, that building up depends, doesn't it, on commitment. And you know that in your own experience, if you've ever even just been in a home group or a Bible study group, the kind of excellence of those groups often depends upon, fundamental thing, the commitment of the people there. That actually you know that when you go, so-and-so is going to be there as well. That's an encouragement, isn't it? That builds you up perhaps more often over a period of time than just any one particular week where there may have been something really exciting as you open the Bible together. But just that commitment to one another in and of itself, essential for the building up of one another. Church membership is essential. Thirdly, church membership is pastoral. Okay, membership brings you under the pastoral care of the church. In Acts 20, I'm not going to look at all these verses, but it's good just to see these things again in the New Testament. Acts 20, Paul gathers the Ephesian elders. He's not going to see them again. He's giving them some final instructions. And he says, verse 28 of Acts 20, keep watch over yourselves as elders, and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. But just think about that phrase. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. How are those elders to know who the Holy Spirit has made them overseers of? How are they to do that? Is that something, have they got suddenly responsibility for the whole world? Universal church? No, it's clearly got to be, hasn't it, that local church. And how does the Holy Spirit particularly show that? Through some form of membership, active commitment of people who have been saved by grace to that church. Yeah? And they're brought under that pastoral care. As a church here, as elders, we want to care for anyone who comes through the doors, but we know we have a particular responsibility. Hebrews talks about, as those who give an account, don't we, have a particular responsibility to those believers who have committed to the life of the church in local membership and said, I want to be part here. I want to come under the pastoral care of this church. We have a particular responsibility before God too. And that's how we know as people join the church. Equally, again, it's worth thinking about this, as Peter gives instructions to Peter gives instructions to elders in his letter in 1 Peter 5. It's very clear that his instructions to do that are in a large part by example. So we read there, to the elders among you, I appeal as fellow elders and a witness of Christ's suffering, who will shepherd in glory in the glory to be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade. Pastoring is done in and among a people. It's not a kind of distant thing where kind of rules come down from on high, but knowing and being known. Like the Lord Jesus himself, of course, the great shepherd who comes and serves, doesn't he? In and among the people, known for his compassion. And again, that means, doesn't it, that implies local commitments to local churches amongst the people, not a kind of just vague thing, not a kind of, as it says there, you can't be pastored virtually online, just dipping in here and there. No, you commitment to a local church where you are known, and you know those who are leading the church under God, and you can trust them, and they are being an example to you. Church membership is pastoral. Fourthly, church membership is responsible. When someone becomes a church member, it's not just a name on a roll. You're given a responsibility. Churches have leaders. But to whom ultimately, or who are they accountable? And who are members accountable to? Well, actually, we saw a few weeks ago when we were in Matthew 18, weren't we? And we saw that when there was that case of sin against a brother individually, a sister sins against you, Jesus says, go, talk to them privately. If they don't listen, bring one or two witnesses. Yeah, we're concerned about your resistance to you know what you've done here. And actually, we want to call you to repentance because we love you. If before those witnesses, they still refuse, what does Jesus say? Not take them to the elders. Bring them to the church. Bring them to the assembly. And actually, if they still refuse to listen to the church, treat them as you would an outsider. In other words, they're at that state of affairs, patiently and lovingly, where we've tried to show them that this way of living is inconsistent with claiming to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're now saying, look, we're not sure if we can honestly continue to say, we think you are saved because your life is so out of kilter and you refuse to listen to our loving, caring concern to say, turn from that sin and come back to Christ who loves you. And your continued refusal to do that begins to make us doubt that you are a believer. We can't continue to affirm that as our job. And that is something that we do to get as church members. The ultimate court of appeal in the local church is the church members themselves, not the elders. Which is why when someone comes into church membership, and you've seen this here, we don't just kind of let people in and just say, you've met with the elders, here's a new member, that type of thing. We invite them and ask them to share their story of coming to know Christ to the members. And then remember, we give that 3-week gap so that if members have got any particular concerns, they can raise them. And we take that kind of silence, which thankfully is the norm, as a way of saying, actually, there's an affirmation. Yeah, we heard their story and we love the fact. And it's lovely when people share their story here, the way in which members come up and often encourage the person who shared their story and just said, we're so thrilled to hear what Jesus has done in your life. And in that way, they're taking responsibility and encouraging. So welcoming, and as we've said in Matthew 18, if there is a need to remove someone for the membership. This is where we come back to that question I asked you at the beginning. What's the difference between two Christians who belong to the same church and two Christians who go to a different churches? Hope you can see the responsibility that we have for one another as members of those churches to affirm and oversee our ongoing discipleship. And so that we will be those who at times would correct one another or come along and encourage one another. And in particular times, if we were worried about a person's ongoing walk because it seems so out of kilter with the gospel and the Bible's teaching, there's a particular responsibility, not simply on the lines of friendship, there's a particular responsibility on the lines of membership to come alongside and say, we are really concerned that you are wandering from the faith, that you've lost your first love in the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, we don't have that responsibility for people in other churches. We may do on a familiar line or a friendship line if we're concerned, but not the Lord Jesus gives us that particular responsibility in the local church. There's a responsibility which we demonstrate as we commit in membership. Fifthly, church membership is powerful. It's powerful. Yeah, there's a strength in unity. We see it in Philippians chapter 1, maybe just worth there. I think this will be our last reference this evening, and we've dived around a little bit, but just Philippians chapter 1, Paul is exhorting this wonderful local church in its life together, facing trouble and persecution. It says, well, Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come and see you, only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. And how are we doing that? Well, at least one of the ways that we're encouraged to stand firm together, verse 1 of chapter 2, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort in his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, and if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value one another above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. And as a church lives that out, what are they living out? Goes on to say, doesn't it? The mind of Christ himself, the wonderful loving pattern of Christ. We could turn, actually it is worth just this one last reference to 1 John 4. Again, we've mentioned this at other times, but remember that great thing of that in John's gospel and in John's letters, that statement he makes in John's gospel, no one has ever seen God, but in the coming of Jesus, God the Father has known, no one has seen God. But here in 1 John 4, what do we read? No one has ever seen God. Verse 12, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. In the coming of Christ, God was made manifest. Yeah, the word became flesh, we beheld his glory. Yeah, as a local church commits to one another in love, yeah, God is seen for the edification of the church, building up, and for the witness to the wider world. Church membership is a powerful thing, and therefore be committed to a local church. Finally, last slide, in joining a local church, just five statements here. Yeah, what am I declaring as I join? I'm declaring I believe God has saved me and wants me to serve in Christ's body. I believe the local church is God's vehicle for his gospel and his glory. I hope you've seen that. I recognize I'm accountable to other believers and they part of my life in Christ. I recognize I share a responsibility. We've seen that as we oversee and affirm to help other believers and care for them. They for me for them. And I stand as one with this group of God's people as we look forward to Christ's return when he will bring all the church together to the glory of God. What an encouragement to be part of a local church. And there are big things there, big things for us to live up to as a local church by God's grace, seeking to care for one another, love one another, standing firm together for the gospel. I'm going to pray, then we'll have some refreshments, and then if there want to be a little time for questions, we can do that. Father God, we thank you for your design, for the life together of your people. Lord, we thank you that you've broken into our lives with the power of the gospel, and thank you for your saving mercy and grace in our lives. And Lord, we pray that and thank you that you join us to other believers, that gospel may be lived out and demonstrated in our life together, that you indeed are building a people, a new humanity, that share your likeness, are restored to your image, just as we were once made to, in the likeness of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we want to be a people in this place that stand firm together in the gospel, holding out the word of life to others, and demonstrate the goodness and beauty of that gospel in our life together. And so we want to pray again. We thank you for the way that new folk have become members even this last year into our life. And we want to pray as a church that we would indeed be a blessing to them and an encouragement to them in their discipleship. And as they have come in as well, that they would be a blessing to us. Lord, thank you for the people of this church. May we continue to grow in your love and share it with others for the glory of your name and our good. Amen. Amen. Do get a drink if you'd like to. We'll have a little time for questions after that, but do grab a